Go ahead.
Okay, 1 second.
You can record it on Zoom.
I don't know how to do that.
Look at the bottom.
Yeah, there is at the bottom, yeah, if you look at record function.
How do I retrieve it?
If, as long as you have your meeting number, you should be able to retrieve it.
Okay, I'll do it.
Record. Okay, Nachum Gell is not with us?
We invited him.
No.
Okay, we're on the way. Says the Gemara. Dafchof Zayin Omed Aleph. So let's backtrack a little bit. This is related to a sugya that we... By the way, how long does this meeting last? Is there a limit to it?
40 minutes. And if we get cut off, everyone can go back. I'll just...
So we're back in again.
Leave the meeting and come back on.
Okay, whatever. Okay, it's at 10:15, I've got to go. Okay, so we've got 35 minutes. Okay, so... The Gemara we're about to learn is the Gemara Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Very quick recap. By the way, can I just say, Rabbi Yosef, it's wonderful to see you.
Yeah, wonderful to see you. Can you hear me, by the way?
You're loud and clear. Baruch Hashem.
Good.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, so it's good. Everybody should not be on mute. There's no need to be on mute. It's more interactive if we're not, as long as there's no big noise in the background. So the opening Mishnah told us that you can daven Shachris until Chatzos, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's not until Chatzos, it's until 4 hours into the day. So the discussion we were having in the Gemara is, what does that mean, until 4 hours in the day? The Loshon of the Gemara was, until, is it ad, va'ad bichlal, is it up to and including, or is it up to and excluding? In other words, if we have a classic day from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening, from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, that's 3 hours gone. 9 till 10 is the fourth hour of the day. So when Rabbi Yehuda says that you can daven until 4 hours, does he mean including that fourth hour or excluding that fourth hour? That was a lengthy discussion that we had actually at the end of last Zman. We had at the end of last Zman. So what we need to now do is bring this sugya to a conclusion. So have a look at the Gemara Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. It's about 8 or 9 or 10 lines from the end of the narrow line. The first two words on the line are Rav Nachman. Omar Rav Nachman. The last word on the line is Omar, Omar Rav Nachman. Because the conclusion of the Gemara was that actually it's ad va'ad bichlal. Ad va'ad bichlal means it's up to and including, which means, again, on the classic day of 6 to 6, you can actually daven shachris, according to Rabbi Yehuda, including, up to and including the fourth hour, which means all the way until 10 o'clock. That's what the Gemara's maskana was. So the Gemara now says the following in conclusion. Omer of Nachman, af anan nami tanina. We have also learned this in a Mishnah. We brought a complicated proof, we're not going to get involved. But now the Gemara is saying, I can back this up. It seems to be a mafurish, a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Hoyrios. A Mishnah in Idios, excuse me. Now, we have to know, Idios is a very interesting mesechta. Idios, as the word suggests, is a collection of edus, testimony. It's various tanoim giving testimony to a whole different bunch of halachas. That's why, if we were to be asked, what is the subject matter of mesechtas Idios, the answer is there is no subject matter. It's all, every single Mishnah has several different subject matters, because it's all different ADA's testimonies, as we're about to see in a moment, that were collected. So over there, the Mishnah says the following. Now, most of the Mishnah that we're about to learn is not relevant to us because it discusses different halachas. But there is one line which discusses specifically the Tfilas HaShachar concept, and that's what's relevant to us. But obviously, we're not going to miss out any of the Mishnah. We're going to learn all of it. So let's go slowly. Omer Rav Nachman Afanan Namitanina. We have also learned this as well. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Hayid. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bavid, Rabbi ben Bava testified the following.
Is this our Rabbi Yehuda?
This is Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, it is. I think it is Rabbi Yehuda. Yep. Chamisha Dvarim. Five things. Number one, Shem Ma'anin Esaktano. We're going to come to that shortly. Number two, V'shemasiyin Eso Yisrael Pi Eidechot. Number three, Al Taranagoyl Sheniskel Birushalayim Al Shaharagas Anefesh. Number four, Val Yain Ben Arboim Yoim Shenisnasech Al Gaba Mizbeach. So all those four, as I said, they're not our subject, but we don't want to miss them out. We'll come back to it in a moment. This is our subject. The final one is V'al Tomid Sher Shacha. They testified about the Tomid Shel Shachar, the morning korban, and as we know, the Tfilah of Shachris follows the Zman of the morning korban. So if we want to know when can you daven Shachris to, the real answer to the question is, one second, until when can you sacrifice the Tomid Shel Shachar? So here we have a testimony about the Tomid Shel Shachar, which is exactly what we're looking for. So what does it say in this testimony? It says in this testimony, Val Tomid She Shacha She Korev Bah Arba Shois. So that is now unequivocal. As long as you had in the Mishnah Ad Arba Shois, so Ad is very cryptic because until can mean inclusive or exclusive. But if it says Bah Arba Shois, well, that's non-debatable. Bah Arba Shois means that the Tomid Shel Shacha was sacrificed at 4 hours into the day, which means at 10 o'clock. So if that's the case, Shma Mino, so we hear from there, conclusive proof, Ad Va'ad Bichlal. Shma Mino, yes indeed. Again, the Mishnah that we had in Brochos said, Ad Arba Shois. Well, therefore, that's debatable. Is that up to an including, up to an excluding? But if I have a Mishnah in Idyos, they actually brought testimony saying that they sacrificed the korban of Tomid Shel Shachar when? At 4 hours into the day, that means from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 o'clock, they sacrificed the korban. There you have it. So we now know exactly what his opinion is, and that is, can you still hear me?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion must be that it's up to 4 hours. 4 hours including, which means according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can daven Shacharis until 10 o'clock, no problem whatsoever. Says the Gemara in conclusion, and we haven't forgotten all the cases that we missed out, we'll come back to it. Omar Rav Kahana, this is absolutely very crucial for us. Halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda. And this, Meirai v'Raboisai, changes all of our life. Why is this a tremendous chiddush? Because normally you'd expect, right, because if we have Rabbi Yehuda versus the Chachomim,
the
so normally who would you paskin like? We would say we would paskin not like the Yochid. Yochid v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim, and we'd expect the halacha to be like the rabbim. Says the Gemara, no, we do not paskin like the rabbim. You do not get until chatzos like the chachomim, rather until 4 hours, albeit up to and including 4 hours, like Rabbi Yehuda. Why are we paskining like Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, hoyel v'tanan, because we have a Mishnah, b'bechirosa kavosei. Rashi tells us, if you look at the very last narrow line of Rashi, the very last narrow line of Rashi, Rashi says, what does that word mean, bechirosa? Idios kori bechirosa. Mesechtes idios is actually called bechirosa, shehalocha ka'oison idios, because the halacha is like everything stated in that mesechta. Bechirosa literally means the chosen one. Like Asher Bochar Banu, to be Bocher, Bechira, is to choose. This is the choice Masechta. Idios is the choice Masechta. Why is it choice Masechta? Because we have a rule. Anything that appears in Masechta's Idios, that is the Halacha. Sefer, even though in our Mishnah in Brachos, the Machlokes is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and there is no clear Psak Halacha. To the contrary, I would have thought if normal rules would apply, we should go with the Chachamim. But if we find in Bechiroso, in the choice Masechta called Idios, we find conclusive proof like Rabbi Yehuda, then that becomes the Halacha. Where's the conclusive proof like Rabbi Yehuda? Because the Mishnah in Idios told us quite clearly that they sacrificed the korban until 4 hours into the day. If you look at Rashi, backtrack a little bit to Rashi's previous to what we just learned. Ba'arba Shois, it says that they sacrificed the korban at 4 hours of the day. Says Rashi, Vesuloi.
No,
what does that mean, Vesuloi? And no more. Alma, so we see from that, Kerab Yehuda, Sfirelei. Obviously, this Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Vekaomar, and it is telling us, Ba'arba Shois. Alma, so you see, the Rabbi Yehuda, it's ad, v'ad bichlal. Now, what's Rashi coming to answer over here? Rashi is coming to answer the following question. According to the Chachomim, you're allowed to sacrifice the Tomid Shel Shacha until when?
Chatzos.
Anytime until Chatzos. So one moment. If I have a Mishnah in Idios that tells me that they sacrificed the Korban 4 hours into the day, why does that tell me anything about Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe that's going like the Chachamim, and it's perfectly legal and valid to sacrifice the Korban 4 hours into the day. So there was a testimony brought that in the Beis HaMikdash, they brought the Korban at 10 o'clock. Okay, who says that's Rabbi Yehuda talking? Maybe it's the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, you can sacrifice the korban at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, all the way up to 12 o'clock. So the fact that it says at 10 o'clock, who says that's Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe it's the Chachamim. Says Rashi, no, because the diuk that we're making is, it's at 10 o'clock, v'suloi. It's not just a happens to be once upon a time that they sacrificed it at 10 o'clock. Rather, the Mishnah is telling us, only until 10 o'clock. Well, that can't be the Chachamim anymore. Because according to the Chachamim, it's simply not true to say only until 10 o'clock. You can actually sacrifice it until Chatzos. Ah, so we now know that who's talking in this Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, then this is, of course, of great interest to us. Because if it says until 10 o'clock, so there it is. 1 and 1 is 2. I see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can sacrifice until 10 o'clock, which is another way of saying, ad va'ad bichlal. One more Rashi. Says Rashi, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda demasnisin. The halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, de'ein tomid shel shachar korev la'achar arba shois. Based on what we learned in Idios, we now know that the korban tomid shel shachar was not sacrificed after 4 hours into the day, v'hu hadin, and the same applies litfilah. This, of course, has been the rule all along, that the zman of tefillah follows the zman of the korban, and therefore, meirai v'raboisai, this is it. Halacha l'maisa, I think maybe it's worth, maybe next time on Tuesday, be'ezras Hashem, we should, maybe tomorrow, if anybody's interested, we can learn tomorrow as well. But either way, we should see the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. Because according to this Gemara, it means halacha l'maisa, you've got to daven by 4 hours into the day. If we would have paskin al chachamim, it would mean until chatzos. But we don't paskin al chachamim. So I think together, maybe next time we learn, we should have a bring a Mishnah Berurah to your computers, chelek aleph. And we will see there, very, very important to see how we paskin halacha l'maisa, because we'll see that, yes, of course, the Gemara tells us we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so that's discussion closed. But we'll see the Mishnah Berurah does say that b'di'eved one can daven until chatzos. Obviously, we don't rely on that l'chatchila. L'chatchila, you've got to daven before what's called soif zman tefillah, which is 4 hours into the day. Okay, so that discussion is now closed.
Rav?
Now,
Rav,
yes.
Does that mean we start Shmona Esrei by that time?
Yes, it should. L'chatchila be, you should finish Shmona Esrei by that time as well.
Finish Shmona Esrei, okay.
Yep. So we'll see that in the halacha. Let's go now back to these other four cases, which, again, we don't want to miss out anything. We want to finish the parak in its entirety. So there are four other cases that were mentioned in this Mishnah, which has nothing to do with tefillah whatsoever, but they are to be learned and they're extremely interesting. So let's go back to Rashi, all the way up to the top of the Rashi there. Shemama'anin eshaktano. So we learn over here a brand new principle called miyun. Miyun, literally translated, means refusal, to refuse. So let's make a brief introduction to this and then we'll understand what Rashi's talking about. The halacha is, and those who are with us from the Masechtas Kiddushin will undoubtedly remember this. The halacha is, once a girl becomes a gedoyla, 12 or 12 and a half, she is in her own jurisdiction and she can choose to marry whoever she likes and she gets the Kiddushin. It's nothing to do with the father. Below the age of Gadlus, until the age of 12, the Torah gives the father the right to be Mekabel Kiddushin on her behalf. It's a tremendous Chiddush, but we learn this from a Pasuk. So the father can come home unannounced and tell his daughter, Mazel Tov, you're now married. I wish you Shatizku Livnus Bayis Nemon Be Yisrael. You're married to the following person. The Kiddushin belongs to the father, and the daughter is married mid-oiraisa. And that's absolutely legally binding until the end of her life. Unless, of course, the husband dies or divorces her, but she's 100% married. Now, if the father is not around, the father has passed away, can the mother or the brother of this young girl marry her off? And the answer is, yes, they can, but it's only midrabbanon. Min haTorah, she's not married. Midrabbanon, they have their rights. Why did they institute this midrabbanon process? We'll see in a moment in Rashi. But because she's not married, min haTorah, she can do miyun. Miyun means she has the right to refuse at any given moment. Not only upon being informed that she's married, even at a later date as well. Even if she's in fact been living, even if in fact she's had relations with this husband, as we're going to see now in Rashi, she can at any point say, I hereby refuse. That's called miyun, and she simply walks out through the door and doesn't even need a get. Why does she not need a get? Because she was never married. Now, that's the general principle. So she can choose. If she wants to do miyun, that's her prerogative. She could do so. There is one case that we actually encourage her to do miyun. And that's the case that we're discussing now. What is the case? So it's a little bit complicated. Let's design the scenario. There are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. There are two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Reuven is married to Rachel. Shimon is married to Leah, but only midrabbanon. Meaning, Leah's father and Rachel's father, Lavan, has passed away, and therefore their brother has indeed decided to marry her off to Shimon. So, Rachel is married to Reuven 100%, and Leah is married to Shimon midrabbanon. Fine. All of a sudden, the first brother passes away. Reuven passes away. Shimon now has the mitzvah of marrying Rachel, and that is, of course, the mitzvah called Yibum. Ah, one second, here we get stuck. If he goes and marries Rachel, which is what the Torah is telling him to do because that's the mitzvah of Yibum, then he now has two wives. Who are these two wives? Rachel and Leah. You can have two wives, but not if they're both sisters. So here we have a problem. We really would like him to marry Rachel because that's the mitzvah min ha-Torah of Yibum. But as long as he is quasi-married to Leah, why is he quasi-married to Leah? Because that is drabonon relationship, then you can't have both. Says the Mishnah in Idyos, we encourage Leah to do miyun. We tell her, do us a favor, please, walk out the door. And tell Shimon, it was lovely knowing you, it's all over. Why do we want to encourage this? So that now, Rachel has become freed up to go and marry this brother, Shimon, and be mekayim the mitzvah min ha-Torah of Yibum. Now, why is this a tremendous chiddush? This is a tremendous chiddush. When you do miyun, it doesn't just cancel the marriage. There's no such thing as canceling a marriage. If you have a marriage, even if it's midrabanon, then you'd need a get midrabanon. How can she walk out the door midrabanon? You're not canceling the marriage. You're actually uprooting the marriage retroactively. That's what miyun does. Miyun says, I'm walking out the door and I'm uprooting it retroactively, which is fine. But here comes the chiddush. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that if she uproots the marriage retroactively, it means that every time they have had now relations from the time they were married, midrabanon, until now, that relationship was not halachically permissible retroactively. Why? Because they were never married.
Reb Orek, let me just interrupt what I say. We just got to notice the shiur is going to end in 10 minutes, so.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
So either way, this is the tremendous chiddush. The chiddush is that we're going to encourage Leah to walk out the door, to uproot retroactively her marriage, so that Shimon can now marry Rachel and be mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum, even though it therefore means that Shimon and his young wife Leah, having relations over the last few years, all of those were non-halachically permissible because it turns out retroactively that they were never married. And we still encourage her to do miyun. That is the chiddush over here. So that's
what about,
yep.
What about children born from that relationship?
So
what is their status?
So we're talking about a katana, so there won't be any children.
Ah, okay.
So let's have a look. Let's have a look.
Good question.
Let's have a look at this. A long Rashi, but now that we've introduced it, it should be pretty plain sailing. Says Rashi, Shema ma'anin esa katana. Katana, a young girl, shehisi'ata, who was married off from the Loshon of Nisuin, who is married off Imo by her mother, La'achar Misas Oviho, following the death of her father. The Midai Raisa, Min HaTaira Ein Kiddusheho Klum. The Kiddushin is nothing, as we just said. If the father has died and the mother marries her off, that's only a Midrabanon Kiddushin, it's not Min HaTaira. Why is it not Min HaTaira? Shahari Ktano Eino Bas Da'as. It's a very strange concept. Bichlal. How can you have any kiddushin with a young girl? She's not capable of doing any kinyan. She doesn't have das. The es imo and the mother, loy zoch so toiro lio islo koyach lekacho, the Torah never gave the zechus, loy zoch so. The Torah never merited the mother with the koyach to be mekadisha, elo la'av. Only to the father. The father has the Torah given right to marry her off, but not to the mother. The father has that right, Shenema, as it is written in the Pasuk, Es bisi, biti nosati le'ish hazeh. My daughter I have given to this man. So we learn from there that the father can marry off her, his young daughter, even though she's not yet a gedola. But the mother can't, at least min ha-Torah. Umiyu, however, Rabbonon takinu lo kiddushin. The Rabbonon did, however, institute for her kiddushin lahatzricha miyun, at least to the point that it's necessary for her to do miyun, meaning it's not totally binding to the effect that it would require a get. No, it doesn't require a get, but it does require at least something called miyun. She can't simply now live with another man. She has to go on through the process called miyun. Why did they ever institute this? They needed latzricha miyun kidei sheyisra'uha v'loitetze liznus. We don't want her to go out and be an overznus and be immoral, so they gave her this right, the mother, they can marry her off in some sort of midrabonon way. Lefichoch, therefore, im miyano, if indeed she did refuse, la'achazman, after some time, va'omra, and she said, efshi boy, what does that mean, efshi boy? It's impossible for me with him, I can't stand this husband. Yoitzes, she walks out, umuteres lechol adam, and she's now permissible to any man. Not only that, ve'ena tzricha heimenu get, and she does not even need a get from this fellow either, because as we just mentioned, technically they were not married. Now, ve'heid Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was giving us testimony, shepa'omim, on occasion, shemitzvah al bezdin. It's actually a mitzvah on the Bezdin, lelamda, to teach her, to encourage her, shetamotin boy, that she should refuse him. Normally, she is allowed to refuse him. Here, we're actually encouraging her to refuse him and simply to walk out. What would be the case? For example, shnei achim, two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, Nusuin Shteya Choyos, they're married to two sisters, Yesoimois, who are orphans. Orphans. Achas Gedoila, one of them is a Gedoila, that was Rochel, the Kiddusha, Kiddushe Torah. Therefore, her Kiddushin is an absolute valid one, Minat Torah. So Reuven is married to Rochel, who is the Gedoila. The Achas Ketano, one of them is a Ketano. She'ein kiddusheho elo midrabono. Her kiddushin to the second husband, Shimon, the second brother, is only midrabono. Umeis baila shel gedoilo v'loy bonim. And the husband of the first one, that means the husband of Rochel, we called him Reuven, now passes away without children. The Nofla, and she, Rachel, now falls lifnei achiv liyibum. She now lands at the feet, as it were, of Shimon, the second brother, to perform the mitzvah min haTorah called yibum. The Nimtzeis, it now turns out that zekukoloi, she is bound to him min haTorah. What does it mean she's bound to him? She has to marry him and either do Yibum or Chalitza, but she can't go and marry anybody else in the world. But the Zikazu, but this binding presents problems. Which problem does it present? Because Oiseres es ishto yolov. It's now going to forbid his wife to him. Shimon is married, midrabonon, albeit to Leah. This Zika, This binding of Rochel, now what will that do to Leah? It will asa him. Mishum achois zekuka, because she is now the sister of the bound one. You can't marry two sisters. Now, at the moment, they're not married to two sisters, but it's as if they are. Shehi ka'achois ishtoi, it's as if it's the sister of your wife. Technically, it's not the sister of their wife because she's not really married. But it's as if they are. Therefore, va'omar Rebbe Elazar, b'mesechtas Yevamos, melamdim ketana zu shetimoein b'balo, we encourage the Ketana to walk out of Shimon, v'ta'akor kidusheho lemafreya, thereby uprooting her kiddushin retroactively, v'te'ose kol bi'iloiseho, and all their relations together, ki'ilu hein shel znus, will retroactively ki'ilu become as if it was immoral. Why were we doing that? Kedei lahatir es bailo leyabeim es achoiso. All for the purpose of allowing and encouraging and enabling yibum between Rochel and Shimon. Because the Tanan noisin al huanusa v'ala mafuta, even though you're not allowed to marry the sister of your wife, but you are allowed to marry the sister of the woman who's just an anusa, who, as it were, was coerced into marrying you. Therefore, Leah, who was not really married to Shimon, just an anusa, he's allowed to go and marry Rochel. Ve'heyid Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava b'yoyim shenishnas idiois, on the day that all of these testimony were learned, shahalocha k'rabaloza, this was the testimony of a Rabaloza, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's absolutely right. Okay, I think we're going to clock out now. So, should we clock out and then clock back in?
If the Rav has time, yeah.
Yeah, fine, okay.
Okay. I'm going to end the meeting.